Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Tet, and we begin today Mishnah Aleph. Now, this Perek is talking about something that we haven't actually even touched upon, almost, except for the fact that we did say in our last Mishnah that even areas that don't require Bias Mayim, such as Beis HaSestarim, they need to be at least Roy L'Bias Mayim. Moshe Andel pointed out the connection to Kol HaRoy L'Bila in Bila Ma'akevet, so that something is meant to be accessible, but since it's a Beis HaSestarim, so if somebody would have, let's say, something stuck between their teeth, so then maybe that would be a Chatzitza. Even though his mouth was shut and water wasn't coming in anyway, it doesn't have to come in. But you can't have a chatzitza. So that is a direct segue to this perek. And this perek is going to be discussing what type of things are considered to be a chatzitza. So elu chotzitzin ba'adam. So the following things in cases of a person, maybe different in cases of kelim, the reason that things are different, and they may be even different for the different sexes, is because of a very basic halacha. The basic halacha is that a chatzitza is defined by your hakpada. If you don't see this as being a problem, and this is the way you're generally going to allow your body to be without removing a particular thing on it, so then how could it be a chatzitza? It's just sort of like the expression of your body. So in that case, those things that would be decorative and wouldn't be a hakpada, shouldn't be able to be a chatzitza at all. Now, obviously, that makes a difference between men and women. Because, I mean, a man's not going to go around with lipstick, but a woman would, or so on and so forth, right? So there would be these differences. There's another halacha, which is that there's a derabbanan, which is a harchoka from chatzitzas. Because the truth is, even if you are makbid, it doesn't matter if rov was uncovered. So if there's no chatzitza that's covering a rov, it should not be a problem. But the Rabbanan said, look, because of the fact that if it covers your entire body, it's a rov, meaning it's a chatzitza, we want to make absolutely certain that you don't get into a case of rov. So we're gozer on a case where it's even miut, if you were makbid on it. Furthermore, if you were makbid, it would be a chatzitza in the case that it was rov, midiraisa. So we're also going to make a takana that if you're not makbid on it, but it is rov, that it's also considered to be a chatzitza. We are not going to make a takana that if it's a miut and not makbid, that it's also a chatzitza. That we're not going to make a takana on, because that would be a gezera le gezera. How many steps do you want to go to be machmir? So we're machmir on the miut otu rubai, if he's makbid, and we're makbid on the Eino makbid, if he would be makbid. But we don't put the two together to say that if it's only a miut and you're not makbid, that it should be a chatzitza. So keeping that in mind, we understand the following. Elu chotzitzin ba'adam. Chute tzemer v'chute pishtan v'haritzuot sheberoshe habanot. The type of things that girls use to decorate themselves with their hair. So they don't keep those things on their hair all the time. Those are removed whenever they're not going to be in public. So therefore, because it hurts to keep it on all the time. So, you know, they got these elastic, tight-fitting, I forgot what they're called in English. But so they're basically these rings, elastic rings, that sit tight against the hair. So if those are made out of wool, or they're made out of linen, or they're like ribbons. Those things are tied tightly, and if the water can't get in, it's a chatzitza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, well, now, that's not really true, because things that are never able to really cover tightly. So, I mean, if you use hair, right? Let's say you have a hair band made out of hair. It's never going to be able to be tight enough to prevent water from getting in. So if it's made out of wool, and wool is essentially hair, or of hair, it's not a chatzitza. Water can get in there. If it's something that actually can be tied tight, so the pishtan, yes, I agree. And the ritzuot, yes, I agree. But these round rings, they can't really be tight enough if they're made out of a material that doesn't stick tightly to the hair. Mishnah Beit Perek Tet. Kilke Halev Vahazakan Ubeit Asitarim Ba'isha. Now here we're already getting to the differences between the sexes and what type of things are considered to be a chatzitza for one sex, but not necessarily for the other sex. So if you have, let's say, matted hair, thick hair on your chest. So if that gets matted to the point that actually water can't really get to all of the hair, because it's also not simply matted by hair, but generally men didn't keep clean enough that this wouldn't be sticky and the hairs wouldn't stick to each other. Or a lifluf. Or a beta starim by isha. Now men are not particularly makbid on how tightly their pubic hair is connected. So kilkuli mokum mastarim for a male is not considered to be a chatzitza, but it is for a woman because they're much more makbid and they actually keep the pubes clean. Lifluf shechutz la'ayin. If you've got this little bit of mucus that came out of an eye and it's outside of the eye, it's not in your eye, or a gelet shechutz lamaket, let's say that you've got a drying scab and it leaked, the pus and stuff leaked around the actual maket, and now it is dried as a scab, but the scab itself is extending beyond the edges of the actual maket. Or for that matter, a bandage that has like a little antiseptic on it and so on, that's called a ritia. So if that's over the maka, or let's say you got a little bit of resin from a tree and it's stuck now, dried to your skin. So it's difficult to get that off, and usually people work on getting it off. Or gildetso ash al bisaro, any type of filth that actually has dried on your skin, now it needs to be scraped off. Or let's say you have batsek, shetachat hatziporen. So you've been doing some kneading of dough. That dough gets under your nails, and now it just ends up being stuck there, and it has to be like, you know, you have to take it out with some type of kli to get it completely out from under your nails. Those are things that people are makbid on. Or milmulin. Milmulin is like when you will rub your skin together if you have sweaty skin. You'll rub your hands together or something. You get these like little pieces of filth, like little round pieces of filth. Those are called milmulim. Or if you have tit hayavein or tit hayotzerim, we're going to define it in a minute. What are these things? So tit hayavein, which we've seen in the pasuk, tit hayotzerim, which are used by people that are making these kelim for cheres, or geitz yivani. Again, we'll discuss that in a moment. That type of thing is considered to be a type of thing which isn't going to actually melt away in the mikvah, and it's something that you certainly don't like having on your body, and therefore is considered to be a chatzitza. What do we mean by tit hayavein? That's the type of tit that you find in borot, because you see that from the pasuk. Vaya'aleni, says David HaMelech, Vaya'aleni mibor sha'on, Kadosh Baruch Hu took me out of that noisome pit, mitit hayavein. So he's putting together this very thick mud, because there's no flow over there, and the mud just gets thicker and thicker at the bottom of this pit. That's what we mean by tit hayavein, and that's very sticky, and if it gets on you, the water is not going to be able to penetrate, and you're makbid on it. Tit hayotzerim, that means gemashmao. There are people who are making these pretty things. It's clay. It's quite thick. and it's very sticky, and the potter at the end of the day has to work on getting it off of him. So that's the kimashma. Oh, Rabbi Yossi says, no, actually, that is not considered to be a chatzitza because it's not hard to get that off. If it's wet before it actually is baked, so then on the contrary, it becomes very slippery, as anybody who's worked with those substances know. And therefore, it's not considered to be a chatzitza, even though the maisa, now it's on you. But since its derech is to simply melt away in the water and it's going to dissolve, that's not called a chatzitza. That's similar to the other types of mud that are brought to the mikveh. So shel yotzrim, that is not considered to be. But shel mareka, that is considered to be. So mareka would be like, in our terms, what do they call that stuff that you buy, if you've got a little hole in the wall that you use to seal it up? Come on, guys, help me. In Hebrew, what's the word, the common word that's used? Oy vey. What's wrong with you guys? You're not old. Thank you. God help us. Spachtel, of course. Anyway, so a little bit of spachtel. Now, they used to make spachtel in those days by mixing the tit hayotzrim. You know, you guys have got to be ready to respond, please, because there's nothing more frustrating than having a term at the tip of your tongue and not being able to say it. Okay, so they used to add, believe it or not, egg whites to the tit hayotzrim. You put that together, and it becomes spachtel. So that is actually very sticky. Now, what's this last thing? Gates? Yevani? What are gates? That's referring to Yitdot Adrachim. You know, when you drive along one of these country roads and it has rained and you've got like these pieces that are sticking up from between the tires and like they're like literally, Yetzim are like sticks that are pegs that stick up. And that type of mud that can form that, if it's on your busser, then it is certainly so sticky that it would be a chatzitza. So those type of things, even though we said before that you actually can use if you've got the type of teat that is mixed. We had the whole shear before. What is considered to be the shear of stickiness? So what size does it need to be able to pour through in order to be tit hanirok, that it's pourable mud, and that would even be mitztarif to the mikveh, remember. So these things, ain't tovlim ben, you can't actually be tovel in them when they are part of the mikveh. So we said, remember, that in the case we had, let's say, of the bed, so the bed's feet you had to press down and they were stuck into the bottom of the mikveh. And we said that that's okay if there's just one little film of water, remember? And that became like a yesod of how tightly you can hold things in a mikveh. But that's not true in sticky things. So that type of mud, which is the three things that we read here, there's not even considered to be a film of water. And therefore, you cannot be matvil in them because they actually penetrate to stick on you, and it's not going to have a little bit of water on you. And lo matvilim otam, meaning if you have some on you, you can't go in with them. Vishar kolatit, but like we said before, if it's wet, so then it could be titani rok. And even if you are sticking your bed into it, and it's not mamish nirok, it's also not sticky, and therefore it allows the water around. Now, when you're going to go into the mikveh, you have to wash your feet off first. Lo yitbo ba'avak sha'araglav. If you come in with a layer of dust, then that, when it's exposed to the water, is going to actually become sticky. So you should take it off before. This is not lahalacha, this is not ma'akev. It's just what is good to do lechatchila to make sure that it shouldn't happen. So obviously, the norm is that it's going to wash off of your feet. But lechatchila, lo yitbol b'avak sh'al raglav. That's different than saying yitzchotzet, right? Bishop doesn't say yitzchotzet. He says don't do it, because we're worried about it becoming a chatzitza. Same thing is true if, let's say, you've got a kettle. This kettle is very black from the soot from the fire underneath it. Now, the truth is that, you know, people do that. Every once in a while, they'll clean it off. But, I mean, you don't take a kettle and clean it every time. And therefore, mi'ikar adin, it's not considered to be a chatzitza. But lo yitbol, you shouldn't do it, because there does come a point where you will clean off the bottom of your kettle. So if there's actually loose soot on it, so then before you took it into the mikveh, it should be mishuf shaf. You should actually scrub it to get, it doesn't mean you have to take it all off, but scrub it to the point where it's at the way that it's normally used. Mishnah Gimel. Elu she'en chotzitzi. Now there's things that you might think are similar to what we had before, but in fact, they are not chotzets. And that would be kilkei harosh, ubet hashechi, ubet hastarim be'ish, whether it's a man or woman's hair on the head or underarm hair, or if it's pubic hair on a male, so then that doesn't have to be, no hair is wrapped up and touching another hair. That's generally not a big hakpada. But when it comes to Beit HaStarim B'Isha, remember, we said that that is considered to be, because there's normally hakpada on that on the point of women. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Echad HaIsh VeEchad HaIsha. There's no difference between the sexes. The difference is by the person. And therefore, we don't make like a general din. Kol ha-makbid alav chotzeitz, the general klal that we're going to be seeing later on, applies here as well. If this particular person is makbid, so then for him it's a chatzitz. It doesn't matter if he's male or female. V'she'ein makbid alav eino chotzeitz. Something that a person is not makbid on personally, so then that's not considered to be a chatzitza. So that if you've got something which is hakapata, then even if it's a miut, obviously, as we said before, if it's a rov, so then we have a gezeira derabanan that is rov, since rov would be a chatzitza deraisa with hakapata, so rov is a chatzitza derabanan without hakapata. So that's what it's referring to over here. Makpid alav in terms of a miut, in makpid alav, eno chotzeitz. Continuing Mishnah Dalet in Perek Tet. Lifluf sheba ayin. Now, remember before we said a lifluf that was yotze chutz li ayin. So it's a little bit of mucus that you'll find on the edge that is dried underneath your eye. If it's in the eye, or it's a gelet she'al hamaka, if it's actually a scab that is dried above the actual surface of the maka and does not extend on the sides. Or if you have resin that dripped on you from a tree, but it's still wet. Or lichluchet soash al bisaro, any filth that is still wet, and therefore it's easily washed off. Or soash atachat hatziporen, if it's also not dried up, just the dirt that's normally under a fingernail. It's not like thick dough or anything like that. The people are normally not makbid on to keep their nails perfectly clean. Or a tziporin amit dul delet. If you've got a nail where some of the nail is detached, it's not considered to be a chatzitza if basically the water is able to get in between the two parts. Otherwise, the hanging would prevent water from getting in. Now, how about kishut shel katan? Now we're talking about other things. We're going to talk about things that are actually part of the body, but that are not permanent. So let's say you have down on an infant. So kishut shel katan. So that down doesn't stay there for long, and it usually comes out very quickly. But a baby, when first born, has got this very soft, almost invisible hair that protects the body. It's called down. So that type of thing, what's important to us here, is not the question of chatzitza, but the question of whether they're considered to be part of the body, to be mitame, or to be mekabel tuma. So suppose something tame touches not the actual body of an infant, but touches the edge of a kashut, which is not a normal hair. That is not mekabel tuma, and if the child is tame, it is not mitame, the person who touches it. But krum sha'al hamaka, but if you've got scar, which is drying and it's over a maka, it's still not like normal flesh, that is considered to be basar, and it is mekabel tuma, and it is mitame. So here, obviously, these things are not chatzitzas we're talking about, but they are either yadais or not yadais. So the shuchel katan is not considered to be a yad for tuma either.
But in that clear to me how to be this Mishnah, there was a switch by Kashut?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that is the way that almost everyone learns, that there's not any need to tell me that the Kashut is not considered to be a chatzitza. But the only chiddush of the Mishnah is now those things that we were talking about until now. What about Benugia, there being a Yad L'tumah? So it's mamish mentioned agav, it would turn out, according to this. So since we were talking about different ways that hair affects you, so we talked about the kashut, if we're talking about matted hair of an adult, or pubic hair of an adult, so we're talking about the agav, we'll talk about the kashut. Once we were talking about the kashut, which is only in terms of a chiddush legabe tami or metame, so we already threw in, which we would never have done, we already throw in the question of the basar, that is scar over amaka, because we'd spoken about scab over amaka before. That's the way that kimat all of them before Shem learned.